Always nice to have some silence in the worship, huh? Although our Sunday mornings tend to be, in the Methodist tradition, more like prayer meetings in a way. You know, we're singing and we're passing the peace and welcoming each other and doing this reflection. It's also kind of nice to have that time of silence where we can just, whew. It's like with the kids, are you going to get to do it again? Because that's what I'm talking about today. But it's that time to really just, sink into our hearts and connect with God, connect with the Spirit in that way, as well as we're doing it with each other, and the singing also connects us with the Spirit. But it's nice to have that time of silence, I find. That said, we continue with our Lenten series on prayer. And I heard about this. A little boy and his brother went to visit their grandmother, and so they went and they played, but it got to be evening and they were staying overnight, and so the little boy was saying his prayers, right? But he was shouting at the top of his lungs. He was going, "Please, God, give me a little red bicycle, and give me a toolkit, and give me." And his older brother said, "Quiet. You really don't need to, for crying out loud. God can hear you. God's not deaf." And the little boy goes, "Well, I know, but Grandma is." So last week we looked at intercessory prayer, right? When you pray to God for others, you pray to God for creation, you're praying with words. This week we're looking at contemplative prayer, centering prayer, prayers to God without words. It's the term contemplative prayer. It's often used and kind of seen in, at least in Christian spiritual literature, as have kind of this aura about it. Oh, it's only for mystics and monks and monasteries. But in essence, it's really contemplative prayer. It's just simply wordless prayer. It's a wordless, trusting opening of the self to the presence of God. So it's not really an advanced prayer in that regard. It's one of the simplest forms of prayer that there is. The kids, they recognize it. They recognize it right away, perhaps because it's like, it's said that silence is God's first language. And the kids are still in touch with that. I think, as we grow up, our minds get more complex and we get more involved and we get more settled in a way in our habits, in our ways of thinking. And we spend a lot of time as adults, don't we? The energies go to thinking and planning and worrying and trying to get ahead or trying to stay afloat. And that we kind of lose touch, I think, with that natural intimacy of God deep within us. And this gift of silence, it gradually recedes in the face of our demands of daily life. So that when we do re-encounter contemplative prayer as adults, it can seem like a strange and inaccessible to us. We make it more complicated than it is. Now, because it is, we've learned how, I think many of us have learned with some effort to stop the outer noise. I mean, you can go for a walk on the beach. You can go for a silent walk in the woods. You can spend a quiet day at a meditation retreat. Or you can just come for an hour. We have our Wednesday night meditation here in the sanctuary, half an hour of just silence. So we've learned ways to do that. We can find ways to stop the outer noise. But stopping the inner noise, that's another matter. Because even when the outer world has been wrestled into silence, we still go on talking, yeah? We still go on worrying. We still go on, arguing with others. We're arguing with ourselves, daydreaming, fantasizing. It's true, yeah? We still do that. If we're out walking on the beach, oh, it's so lovely, and we're still going along, right? Just like with the kids, we still have that inner conversation that we can also do. So I think what's needed, I think, is to encounter the deeper reaches of ourselves, to get into that quiet. It seems like we almost need this interior on-off switch to tone down the inner talking as well as the outer noise. And that's probably the simplest way to picture what centering prayer is in relationship to contemplative prayer. Now, I've got the title out there, Contemplative Prayer, and that's what's in your bulletin. But there's, and we need to talk about what's called centering prayer and contemplative prayer. At roots, centering prayer is simply this, it's a way, it's a method of reconnecting us with that natural aptitude, I guess you'd say, of our inner life. That the simplicity of our childhood, that our adult minds have made overly complex and become so busy. And so centering prayer is this method of silent prayer that prepares us to receive the gift of contemplative prayer, which is our experiencing of God within us, which is the experiencing of God that's closer than our breath, closer than our thinking, closer even than our consciousness. It's just the presence of God in our hearts, inside. This type of prayer is a relationship with God, and it's also the discipline to strengthen the relationship. It's both. It's the relationship itself, and it's also a discipline for deepening that relationship. And centering prayer is not meant to replace other kinds of prayer. It rather adds a depth or a meaning to other types of prayer. Active prayers and verbal prayers, mental prayers. And it's a way of moving those into a receptive prayer of just simply what's called resting in God. You may have heard that term, just resting in God. So centering prayer emphasizes prayer as a personal relationship with God and this movement beyond conversations with Christ to communion with Christ. And yet, it's not a narcissistic thing. People can say, it's not. The intent is not to escape into some private holiness kind of thing, but rather the intent is to allow the gospel to become more and more alive in us, to become more and more firmly rooted, till at last, in the words of that remarkable prayer in Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, which really is like the charter, as it were, of contemplative prayer. And St. Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, Christ may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the very nature of God. So how then do we do it? Well, it's very, very simple. You sit either on a chair or a pew or a mat maybe or a prayer stool, and then you allow your heart to open to the invisible but always present Spirit or presence of God. And then whenever a thought comes into your mind, you simply let that thought go and return to the silent, open presence. Sounds easy enough, but you're probably already moving and active in your mind. And so chances are at that point, we've probably only gotten rid of the outer noise once again. And so centering and contemplative prayer is about moving beyond even the inner noise into what can be called intentional silence. Just like with the kids, we chose a word that kind of helps us get past the inner conversations that we continue. And the thing about what we call intentional silence, it almost always feels like work, which is interesting. You know, it doesn't come naturally to many of us. There's, in fact, Actually, we all encounter a considerable resistance from our own minds, from the mind itself, right? You mean I just sit there and I make my mind go blank? That's prayer? Wait a minute. Why did God, this is your mind going, right? This is the resistance we all have. Your mind, why did God give me intelligence, reason, feeling, imagination, and now you're asking me not to use it? These questions just go like, where do I go if I stop thinking? Some of the resistance that your mind immediately goes. Another way to say it, the resistance comes from your ego. This is a prayer which is going beyond your mind, going beyond your ego. So it's a threat to your mind, to our mind, to your ego. Because that's God, we have to get past that. That's the inner noise that you get past in this prayer to be present to God. And so that it's centering prayer is this discipline of intentional silence, and it deals with, to deal therefore with this internal resistance. Dealing with it, it's an inevitable part of a practice of prayer. And it said that 90% of the trick in successfully establishing a practice is decide that you want to do it. Just to make the decision, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try. You're 90% there. And then there's four simple guidelines that I like to share with you. And so this is a time, just like with the kids. The kids had the simple, very simple version. So if you got that, you're probably already there or halfway there. But I'll do a little bit more here. But you're welcome to be in an attitude of prayer here. And we'll just kind of give you a guideline that then you can take and work with that. But the first thing is you choose a sacred word. And the word is like a symbol. I mean, it's not like it is. It's a symbol of your intention to consent to God's presence and action within you. It's not an elaborate word. It's just one syllable or two syllables. Jesus, Spirit, Abba, peace, light, some examples. And the significance is not in the word. But you want a word that you're going to try a word each time. But you don't want to switch in the middle of a prayer time. Okay? Say, today, this morning, I'm going to choose one word. And you work with that. The next time you do it, you can choose another word. And you work with that until you get the right word. So you'll know when the word is correct for you, that one that works for you. And then you sit. Second is you just sit comfortably and with your eyes closed. And the reason, I know some people may feel a little bit uncomfortable closing your eyes, but when you do it at home, if you're uncomfortable here, we simply close our eyes because so much of our distraction is visual. So much. And so that's a way of eliminating a huge distraction. And then you silently introduce your sacred word. So you sit there quietly, comfortably, and I'll use the word Yesu. 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 And you're saying it quietly to yourself. And then the third guideline is really the essence of the prayer. And it is when engaged with thoughts. And thoughts here in this terminology, it's an umbrella term which includes not only your thinking, but your every sensation you have that crosses your awareness. Which is, say, your thoughts, your body, your emotions, your memory, your imagination, the noise outside, the noise inside. Whatever is happening, you just let it be there and then let it go. And when you engage that, which you inevitably will, that's when you ever so gently just introduce your word. You come back to your word. So for instance, because you see, the goal in centering prayer is not to stop the thoughts, because you can't, but simply to develop this detached attitude toward them, to surrender to them coming and then let them go. So for instance, if you're praying And you're saying your word, Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. I bet there's still people looking at me and wondering what's going on. Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. Oh, this microphone cord is really bugging me a bit. Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. If I can maybe stand this way, I'll be a little bit better balanced, and then I'll be more comfortable up here. Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. Coffee hour. What are we going to have at coffee hour? I'll bet. Yesu, Yesu. You see how it goes? I mean, the thoughts, they just come. And it's okay. You're not trying to, you're just beginning to watch them and letting them go. And the word helps you bring you back present and dissociates from the thoughts and the engagement that you have. And you're allowing God's presence to be there. That's what's going on. You're just allowing it, God's presence to be there. And then at the end of your prayer time, set a timer or something so you're not always watching your clock or wondering, oh, I wonder how many minutes has gone by. Just set a little timer or something. And then when it goes off, just take about a minute or two. Stay there, remain there with your eyes closed, and just kind of come back before you get up to engage in your active day. So I recommend that, you know, when you do this, do it for about 20 minutes at a time. Ideally, and do it twice a day, ideally. And now, of course, as soon as I say that, you're going, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to fit in 20 days, 28 minutes a day, 40 minutes a day? Oh my gosh, I can't ever do that. And it's like this huge arm wrestling that starts immediately. So do it for 5 minutes. Do it for 5 minutes for a week, and then add a couple more minutes. Just go very gently into it, you know. Then after, you know, a month down the road, you'll be doing 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day, and it will be nothing to you. And if you can do it twice a day, that's even better. And just to establish that, I heard one teacher shared one time that they were giving an introductory prayer workshop, and one of the participants was a young mother that had 3 preschool kids. And the teacher went through the talk about how centering prayer is about letting go of thoughts. The mother said, oh, I'm a natural. I haven't had a thought in years. You get it. Those of you who have had kids know, yes? So it's, you know, be gentle with yourself. And it's just a way of recharging your batteries is one another way to think about it. It really is. No, and then the promise of contemplative prayer that it makes is that if you show up, things will start to change. Now, probably not in the way you expect, of course, right? But change they will. Change they will. And while everyone's journey is different, the general direction is that rather than pulling you out of life, what it will do, what contemplative and centering prayer does, is it deposits you right back in the midst of life. But with a softer and warmer heart, with a deepening sense of wonder, a deepening sense of connection. You see, for the goal of a contemplative prayer, of a contemplative life, is what's called unitive seeing, or unitive, which is to say coming to realize that really there is no place, there is nothing that's not God. It's all unity. A unity, yeah? And as one author put it, God is the higher and the lower, the dots and the spaces in between the dots. Nothing can fall out of God, and all is tenderly and joyously held. And to see this is to behold the kingdom here and now. And that's where contemplative prayer will help move you. Amen. Thank you.